The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This Gospel reading is a magnificent, epic, high theology introduction to John's full gospel. And it's echoing back to the book of Genesis, the very beginning of this, the fourth and very different of the four gospels, is reflecting back the very start of the story in Genesis. In the beginning, when God created heavens and the earth, is how that starts. In this gospel here, John, what we just read was the first chapter, the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know, as we go through John's gospel, the Word is Jesus Christ. He is God's Word to us, God's spoken revelation, not just in physical words coming out of a mouth, but as a person who is embodying everything that is the message of what Christ, or what God intends for us to know. The fullness of revelation isn't a book, it's a person. And that person's birth is what we celebrate today. Now, John got to that understanding of who Christ was, not just right off the bat, right from the beginning. Like, okay, this is the Messiah. Oh, I got it. It's the Word of God, and he's co-equal with the Father. No, it took time. But John journeyed with Jesus. He was one of the very first ones to follow, together with his brother James and Peter and Andrew, the four of them together, was with him through so many miracles throughout and received so many teachings from Jesus, either listening to Jesus preach to the crowds, working miracles, or when Jesus would pull the apostles aside themselves and talk to them and explain things to them. John was one of the three that was taken up on Mount Tabor for the transfiguration when the voice from heaven came and said, "This is my Son, listen to him, and my son in whom I am well pleased, the son, this one I love. And so already he sees Jesus transfigured and glorious, and so he's really, this is more than I was thinking that this person was. John stays with Jesus at the foot of the cross. John is one of the first to be witness of the resurrection, and just the story keeps evolving. And over time, you think John spends the next decades meditating, contemplating, praying on these things. Imagine what would have been like when John celebrated Mass, to be there and what would have been going through his head, his mind, his heart, knowing that he's holding his Savior in his hands and giving that to the people to receive in their hearts, in their souls. John also had a huge miracle later in life. We know that all the apostles were martyred except John, all of them, and so many disciples as well. There was an attempt to martyr John under one of the persecutions, but it was unsuccessful. They had captured him. They want the classic thing: repent and offer sacrifices to the gods and or the idols. And they had a giant cauldron of boiling oil there. And of course, John would not. He had stayed faithful to Christ through his entire life when his life was on the line and other times before, and this time was not going to be any different. And he refused to concede this, and they put him in the oil, and it didn't burn him. He came out, it's like he's in there, and it's like, okay, well, I don't know, there'd be an opportunity for some great humor in a moment like that. But he pulls him out, he's completely unharmed, and so they just banish him rather than try more. And so this whole thing of who is Christ, the one I was preaching, the one I was proclaiming, the one I refused to deny, now is even in the boiling oil and nothing happened. So his theology is developing through these experiences. And it's much later in life when he wrote his gospel and begins out with that epic beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he continues on making this play, speaking about light and how this light came into the world. It's the Word, yes, but it's also light. It's an image, it's a metaphor. As he also knows that what came prior to Christ through the fall, through the serpent, through original sin was darkness. Sin, evil, division. We spoke about that for those who were here 2 Sundays ago. This division of separating us from every important, wonderful thing is what Satan wants to do. Satan hates God with every fiber of his being. Anything that is of God, anything that is good, anything that is beautiful and wonderful, Satan hates it and wants to destroy it. So he's injecting this darkness anywhere, any crevice that he can get it into. And through the fall, he was able to put a distance and darkness between us and God. And for the first time, they felt naked before God, vulnerable, afraid. That's not who God is. We shouldn't be afraid, but that's what sin does to us. And also the division between us and those closest to us, our loved ones and our neighbors. There's still, it's not as united as it originally was, and with all of creation internal to ourselves. But this light that God brings, the light of Jesus Christ, is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is no darkness in this world today at all that Jesus Christ and his light cannot overcome. Nothing. And nothing that will not eventually be overcome. Our freedom remains intact. We can decide to go along with Satan and his crowd, but God doesn't force us to do that. We're always free to follow the Lord. He was in the world, and the world did not know him, and his own people did not accept him, speaking of Jesus. But those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, restoring that relationship with God the Father, restoring that relationship with our brothers and our sisters and our parents and our spouses, to those who believe in his name. This light comes into the world. Christ brings light and grace into these relationships. It's, I think, at this moment of these days, especially like yesterday and today, there's a restoring and healing thing that's happening inside us as we contemplate these mysteries, as John did, as we think about the coming of our Lord as a baby, and what we did, those who were here last night, this contemplation of the manger and the shepherds, and it's just the most wonderful, beautiful scene. And it just warms and opens and softens our heart, and barriers start to come down. And that's God's grace getting in there, and that's God's light coming in. And when that's in there, it's like you notice and you feel the difference. And when you get together with family and you're sharing presence, and it's just the most warm thing, and it just rejuvenates our heart. That's God restoring us to the way our heart was, the way he made it to be, the way he wanted it to be all along. And it's very common that too at Christmas we think about our loved ones who have passed on. You see, at Christmas, it's heaven coming down and being present in the most lowly place, in the most common place in our everyday lives. And it's Christ wanting to bring love and grace. Heaven is coming down. Well, guess who comes with heaven? All of our loved ones who are there with the Lord. And they are near too. I'm going to get emotional here for a second, because I'm going to tell a story about a little picture. My grandmother, who I know is smiling down from heaven. We all have these figures. On my mom's side, their last name is Goodhart. Paul and Grandma Goodhart, who lived on Main Street in Walnut Bottom, Pennsylvania. It just warms your heart just to hear that there's people that are like that, that live in a street like that. And that's, it's like, when we go over to visit on Christmas Day, it's like they say the presents come out, and just they open the door, and the smell of the Christmas Day dinner is coming out the door, and it's just, or she and my grandfather just open their hearts out to us. That's a little picture of a little bit of like what heaven's going to be like. And that's why Christ comes. He wants to give that to us, not just here and now today, but he wants to have us to have that for eternity. Our hearts change. We become less cynical. We become more open. And even in New York City, it's okay on this day, maybe yesterday, to go to a complete stranger and say, Merry Christmas. And they'll probably respond, Merry Christmas. Any other time of the year, don't do it. But it breaks down the divisions, the barriers between us. And even with the non-Catholics, or the non-Christians, they pick it up too. There's something different. It's heaven has come down. Heaven is near to all of us. And so we'll continue on with our Mass, knowing that heaven, our loved ones, our Lord Jesus Christ, the angels who were there in the shepherd's field singing Gloria are here as well. And as our Lord comes down on the altar, it's a new Christmas. Every Mass is a new Christmas, just as it is a resurrection and a crucifixion. Christ becomes flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that is what we celebrate today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.